Let's just pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace. So we are so grateful, Lord Jesus, because you are our King in our midst. You are not the King who was born 2,000 years. You are a King who was born to us, to our family. And you are our King and you are our Son. And for a Son was given to us as a family. And Father, we receive you as our Son, O Lord. And we thank you because you are a Son in our household. And Father, you are our strength. You are our firstborn strength, O Lord, just as you are the firstborn Son of the Father. For that Son was given to us. And Father, we rejoice, for we always have a Son in the house. And we rejoice in that, Lord. We thank you for your great plan that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit ordained far before, long before we were all on the earth, that you would dwell with each one of us. And Father, we rejoice in that. And Father, even as we celebrate the season, O Lord, of your coming to the earth, Father, help us to have new understanding, new insight, and new manifestation of the inheritance of your coming and the victories associated with your coming and the everlasting covenant that you have ordained by your coming into our lives. Help us, O Lord, to be able to see it and receive it, for you are faithful to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. The title of the message is Rejoice. Rejoice. God's covenant with laughter. That's interesting. You know, God has a covenant with laughter. And you'll say, man, what does that make sense? God has a covenant with Isaac. And that's very powerful. And God was telling me very powerfully today, and tell the people that my covenant is not with your strength. My covenant is in your laughter. And that's why he says, right now, rejoice, rejoice, because my obligation is to your rejoicing. My obligation is not to what you can do with your strength. I don't have a covenant with your strength. My covenant will be with your rejoicing. My covenant is with your laughter. Have you ever heard of that? God's covenant with laughter? Today, God will show something very powerful, and he will show you the power of that. And I had not seen it until the Lord revealed it today morning. And he's telling, rejoice. Why rejoice is the first words out of the angel's mouth to Mary. The first words out of angel's mouth to Mary was, first words, rejoice. So rejoice is a command. Rejoice is not a suggestion. Rejoice is a command. So just remember that. If you remember one message in this thing is, rejoice is it's a command. You are commanded to rejoice. You're commanded to rejoice. That means you may not feel like rejoicing. You may not want to rejoice, but you have no choice. If you want to be delivered from your dark place, or you want to be delivered in your midnight hour, you're commanded to rejoice. You'll say, but I have to see it before I can rejoice. But God says, I command you to rejoice while you're still barren. I command you to rejoice while you have no feeling of the baby in your womb. I command you to rejoice when nothing seems going all right for you. I command you to rejoice. So it doesn't make sense. It makes no sense. But rejoice is a command. Rejoice is not a suggestion. And it's coming from the very throne room of God. God sends his most powerful angel to earth with the command, rejoice. Okay, so let's go to that command, right? How many of you will go to the command? Let's go to the command. Luke chapter 1. I'll show you something very beautiful that God is revealed about the coming year. It's very powerful, very powerful. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Now, read from verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, look at this angel. Not many angels have names specifically highlighted in the word of God towards us. But he knows, he has, the Bible says, he has numbered all the stars. He knows them by name. Stars is a picture of angels and hosts, right? So God knows hundreds of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels. He knows all of them by name. If you have more than 5 kids, we forget the sixth one's name. You know? It's like, you, can you, you know, who are you? So they have serial numbers, you know. But God knows each one by name. But he doesn't reveal all the names. But one angel's name was Gabriel. That means he was an important angel. He said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. So you see this picture of name repeated? Because there's something powerful about the salvation that is going to come upon the earth, which is associated to the revelation of a name. You see, all of religions and all of the strength of humanity, of mankind, is dependent upon what you can accomplish, correct? What you have built, what you have done, what you have created. But the greatest power, the greatest kingdom, the greatest deliverance is about a revelation of a name. Huge. God says, if you can know the name, you can have it. Huge. And if you get that, you'll see that how powerful the name is. The revelation of the name is your victory. And it is connected to the fact, to the reason of the command to rejoice. You rejoice because for the first time in human history, you know the name. So powerful. He says, you know the name, and I'm going to reveal it to you. See, angel Gabriel, for the first time. Remember, until this time, the name Jesus has not been revealed to earth. The name has never been revealed. But until with the revelation of the name comes the revelation of the inheritance of your kingdom. Everything that you want in life is on the revelation on the fact of the name Jesus. Once you know the name Jesus, you received it. That is why that revealed name is so powerful. That is why you can rejoice. Because you can rejoice right now because the name has been given to you. Huge. Once you start understanding that, you can understand the reason why you can rejoice. You'll say, but I don't see the evidence of it. But do you have the name? I have the name. So I can rejoice because I have the name. The name that will get me out of this situation, can get me out of this and whatever I needed. Amen? Okay, let's go there. So on the 26th word, to a name. And having come in, the angel said to her, what? First words?
Rejoice.
Rejoice! So it's not like the angel comes and says, rejoice. How do you think the angel would have come to Mary?
Joyful.
So Jonathan, give me a picture. How would you give me some sound bites of how this angel would have come to Mary? Joanna?
With a big smile.
With a big smile, but sound bites. What would he have said?
Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Oh my goodness. So y'all can do better.
Oh, poor girl.
Oh, poor girl. Rejoice.
Rejoice! You know what I mean? I mean, it's like okay, you won the Powerball jackpot.
Uh-oh.
Correct? And you bought the you're not supposed to buy the ticket, please. You know, not that there's any problem with it, but I'm saying, suppose you bought it, but your family, your spouse found the number and she knows that you want it. So you ring the bell. And you're ringing the bell. You're ringing the bell. And you're not opening. So do you stop, ding dong, wait? No. He said, ding, 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 ding. And he said, what happened? What? What are the first words out of your wife's mouth to you?
Where's my ticket?
Where's my ticket?
Oh, okay, we moved on.
We moved on. So it'll be loud because it'll be joyful, isn't it? So that's the thing, is rejoice, rejoice, highly favored one. Oh my goodness. Rejoice, highly favored one. So now that you have a relation, why should you rejoice? Because you're highly favored, not just favored, highly favored. Why should you rejoice? Not you, me. Say, I am highly favored. So I say, rejoice. Why? Let me ask you again. Rejoice. Why? How favored?
Highly
favored. Not just barely favored. Not just like favored in the common denominator of I am a believer. I am highly favored. That means among all the believers, I am highly favored. Right? Okay. This is rejoice, highly favored one. Why? The Lord is with you. See, the reason you rejoice is, who is with you? The Lord. Now he's getting ready to reveal the name of this Lord. See, they know him as Yahweh. The angel for the first time is going to reveal who is with you. Say, who is with me?
Who is with you?
Why should I rejoice? Because who is with me?
Lord.
Okay, which Lord?
The Lord.
The Lord. What's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus, rejoice. Jesus is with you. See, the reason you have to rejoice is because Jesus is with you. See, the revelation of Jesus is the revelation of joy. Write it down. The revelation of Jesus is the revelation of joy. Who is joy? Jesus is joy. If you have Jesus, you have joy. Jesus does not give you joy. Jesus is joy. So it's like, suppose you have a daughter called Joy in your house. And somebody rings the bell and says, is Joy in the house? What will you say?
Yes.
Joy is in the house. But do you have joy? Yes, I have joy. Why? Because Joy is in the house. So you go to office, Joy follows you, correct? Who Joy? The daughter Joy, okay? So daughter Joy. And you're in the car. Somebody calls you in your car. Anil, is Joy in the car?
Yes.
Why? Because Joy is in the car. You got the picture? So then you take the car, then you drive to office. Joy comes into the office, sits in my office, correct?
Right.
Somebody calls me in the office. Do you have Joy in your office?
Yes.
What do you say?
Yes.
Joy is in the office. You got the picture? I mean, should I keep going? This joy does not leave you. Why?
This is in the house.
He's in the house. Why does this joy not leave you? Because he does not leave you. Ah. Now you see the revelation. Joy does not leave you because he doesn't leave you. Because he is your joy. You have to get this revelation. Because he, like for example, oh, but I don't have enough money. Oh, so what happened? Joy left you?
No.
Then why is he? Because joy is your prosperity. Joy is your healing. Joy is your supply. Joy, is he in the house? Yes. So joy. So he says, rejoice, for the Lord is with you. Why are you highly favored? The Lord is with me. You got it? So now you got the picture? So therefore, rejoice is a command, but it is not an empty command. There is a basis for this command. What is the basis? The Lord is with me. You got the picture? You need to get the revelation. I don't feel like, oh, what happened? Did she leave you? No, she's there. Then why do you say that you don't have joy? She's still in the house. So you will get a picture. Jesus is joy. Jesus is your reward. So Jesus appears to Abraham. That's the first revelation. The Bible says the Lord appeared to Abraham. See, God the Father has never appeared to any man in history. Yes or no? Never. Who said this?
Jesus.
Jesus Himself said that no man has ever seen the Father. You will say, no, but no, no. I'm telling you, Jesus is saying, only I have seen Him. He's saying, only I, the only begotten of Him, has seen Him. Nobody has seen the Father. So who appeared to Abraham? Jesus appeared to Abraham. The moment Jesus appeared to Abraham, and Abraham is very sad, and we're going to go to this chapter. Jesus says to Abraham, He says, I am your exceeding great reward. Hold on. Not the camels, not the livestock, not the servants, not the gold. I am your jackpot. So the Lord told me, don't use the word jackpot. Use the word Christpot. I am your Christpot. You got it? So have you hit your Christpot in your life? Yes. Have you received your Christ? Yes. Then you hit the Christpot. Because with Christ comes all the possession of heaven and earth is yours. Do you get the picture? It's revealed to you. So, okay, let's keep going. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Why are you blessed? Because the Lord is with you. It's very simple. Why are you highly favored? Because the Lord is with you. There you go. Now look at the next verse. And a lot of people never understand this verse. Look at verse 29. When she saw, she was troubled at His saying. See, she's not troubled about the fact that an angel showed up. She's not troubled at the fact that Gabriel himself has showed up. What is he troubled at?
The saying.
The saying. What saying? The highly favored. He said, what manner of greeting is this? Because how is this angel greeting Mary? Highly favored. See, that doesn't make sense to her. He says, how can I be highly favored? Because my circumstances doesn't show that I'm highly favored. Correct? Right? I'm a regular lifestyle, just in a horrible place. Which place? No. Nazareth. So she's in Nazareth. Where did the angel show up to her? She's in Nazareth. Nazareth is like a place that was like the dump yard of Israel at that point of time. That's where all the foreigners would have, the travelers would pass by. It was a lot of brothels and all kinds of things. Nazareth was like the Las Vegas of those days, that time. You know, where caravans would stop when they're coming from Tyre and Sidon, coming into Israel and going past. That's where they would resting places. That's where it was. That's where it was the Galilee of the Gentiles, it's called. Because there were a lot of foreigners. There were all kinds of, and this was like a horrible place. He said, what do you mean you're talking about me that I'm highly favored? Look at where I am. I don't have anything. But he says, why was she highly favored? Because the Lord was with her. And there you got. And look at what he says. Verse 31. He says, do not be afraid. Verse 30. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Again, the picture. Highly favored. You have found. See, as a believer, you have found favor with God. And he said, but I don't see anything around. No. Is joy in the house? Is the Lord in the house? Is Jesus in the house? You are highly favored. So who is the richest house in the earth right now? Our house. Great. Because the king is in the house. Right? So my house is the most prosperous. My house is the most healed. You see, the revelation of Jesus is the revelation of your healing. The revelation of your prosperity. The revelation of your victory. You have to get that. Okay? Okay, let's go to the next verse. For behold, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name? Jesus. For the first time, the name is revealed. And he says, you shall call his name Jesus. What you call Jesus is what he will be to you. What does Jesus mean? Yeshua. Yahweh saves. Yahshua. Shua means saves. Yahshua, Yeshua. Yeshua, or the Greek word is Yesu, Jesus. So that's the same word. It's Yeshua, means the Lord saves. So you call him, he saves me. That means that's what you're declaring about this revealed name. So you have to put it in your mouth. You have to put it in your mouth. Somebody, when they were testifying, says, I have learned to declare stuff. I think Jyotsna was talking about it this year. I started to declare stuff in your mouth. I had to put it in my mouth. The Lord saves. So you, when you say the word Jesus, like the rest of the world uses Jesus, but they don't mean what they say. When you say the word Yeshua, you're saying the Lord saves. That means who is the one who's getting saved? You. You're being saved from anything that you need to be saved from. He's a great fixer. So today I had a revelation of Jesus with work clothes, with tools all hanging on the sides. Have you seen Jesus with jeans, with a tool kit and everything? He said, Anna, I'm the great fixer. What needs fixing in your life? Your water pipe is broken, I can fix it. Your garbage needs to be taken out, I can take it. Somebody needs healing, I've got a stethoscope, I can check and heal him. I am the great fixer. I am fully equipped. He's not like this, you know, I don't want to get my hands dirty. I'm sitting on my throne. You know, he's like, I can fix all things. I am the Almighty God. That's how he revealed to Abraham. I am God Almighty. I am an exceeding great reward. I can fix all stuff. So see Jesus as the revealed name, the great fixer, the great savior, the guy, the person that God has sent, the Father has sent into your life, and he is there. Amen? Okay, let's go. Let's go after what happened after resurrection. Matthew chapter 28. Can you quickly rush? Because I have to. I'm not going to take too much time today, but I have to show something very powerful. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. First words of Jesus. First words of Jesus out of Jesus' mouth. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying what?
Rejoice.
Hold on. First words out of Jesus' mouth is what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice is a command. He says, rejoice is a command. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. Same words. The angel first said to Mary, rejoice. And then said, do not be afraid. Again, that means rejoice and do not be afraid are two opposite things. Yes or no? Correct. So if you're ever afraid, in your midnight hour, you're always afraid. You got fears. God says, do not be afraid. Rejoice as a command. So you're commanded to rejoice. First words. Now he has a basis to command you to rejoice because he is the reason that you can rejoice. Okay, let's go. Let's go to Micah chapter. Okay, then look at Luke chapter 1. Verse 30 to 34. I'm going to read it, right? And I'm going to, Luke chapter 1, 30 to 34. I'm going to read this. Listen to this. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. You have to call. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you have to call. No point calling your father. No point calling your mother. Don't point calling your friend. No point calling your boss. Call him. Call him. Call him. The Lord saves. Call him that. So you call Jesus. Call Jesus first. Call. So you see what I mean? When I say Jesus, I mean. No. Mean it. When you say the Lord saves, call him that. And he becomes what he calls you. Okay, there you go. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. How do you think about kingdom? He's talking about this kingdom never ends. When did it start? When did this kingdom start? No. When he was resurrected, he said, behold, all authority in heaven and earth. See, earth, he never had authority, right? Because All the authority was given but to Adam. Adam gave it to Satan, correct? Now he received it all back, and now all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, correct? So now he's reigning from that. And since then, his kingdom, and when the kingdom started after resurrection, how many people were in that kingdom? 12 plus 70 possibly, correct? 70 plus 12 would be 82. Then it started increasing. 3,000. Then 3,000. Then daily. And now how many are there in his kingdom? His kingdom is never going to reduce. It's never coming down. There's one stock that will always keep going up. Buy kingdom stock. You know, I mean, invest in kingdom stock. It's an ever-increasing kingdom that will never stop. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? You see, the reason you can rejoice or not rejoice is, do you know the man? I know Mary's talking about her husband, but did the Father send a man to earth? Yes. How can this be? That means, how can this kingdom be so beautiful and I can receive it without me knowing the man? See, for you to receive the benefits of this kingdom, you need a man. And who is the man? Jesus is the man. Remember the woman, the Samaritan woman, he said, you had five husbands. The one that you have is not your husband. Because she was looking for a man. And when she found the seventh man, which was Jesus, she received everything. And she rejoiced. Hallelujah. Keep going. Okay. Let's go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Can you go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8? I'm going to read this. He has shown you, a man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The Lord's voice cries to the city, wisdom shall see your name. Oh, this is so beautiful. It's such a beautiful verse. He says, the Lord cries out to you. He says, wisdom shall see your name. That means if you are wise, what will happen? You will see his name. If you're wise, you will see his name. So the moment you're smart, you will see the revealed name, Jesus. Once you see Jesus, God calls that wisdom. Because with that, you will get everything. Solomon became wise by... Did you know Solomon was wise? Why was Solomon wise? Okay, go to the place where Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon. Can you refer that? Somebody can find that quickly. It's 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. Can you read that? 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. Now when Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Did you notice that ever? Solomon had a revelation of the name of Jesus. When Solomon received the revelation of the name of Jesus, what did Solomon receive? Wisdom. And when he got wisdom, what happened? He became what? The richest person that has ever lived on the earth. Have you noticed that? Nobody's ever told you that, right, about Solomon? See, so Queen of Sheba was so amazed because Queen of Sheba found this. He's like, how does Solomon know about the name of Jesus? Because that name was not revealed. But Solomon, see, Jesus appeared to Solomon. Did you know that in a night dream? Right? And revealed his name to Solomon. And Solomon received the name. And Solomon knew that Yeshua is the name of God who is going to come on the earth. The moment he received, God all earth says, this man has wisdom. Send him gold. Send him camels. Send him livestock. Send him palaces. Send him stuff. Because the man has wisdom. The guy did not even work. But what attracted all of the resources of earth to him? What? He called on the name of Jesus. The revealed name is your victory. The revealed name is your wisdom. The revealed name is your prosperity. The same revealed name was revealed by Gabriel to Mary. And she says, you know something? You are highly favored because heaven has thought it fit to reveal to you the name that Solomon knew. You'll say, give me some more proof. Okay, let's go. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. I want you to go to this. Are you all excited? Okay, just go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham. Who is appeared to Abraham? Who is this Lord? Jesus. The Lord appeared to Abraham. He said, to your descendants, I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. For the first time, after Jesus appears to Abraham, Abraham receives revelation of that name. And he calls on that name, and Abraham John. And the Bible says, look at what happened. Immediately after the revelation of the name, Genesis chapter 12, correct? Mm-hmm. Verse 7 to 9, correct? Let's look at the next chapter. First verse, Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. Can somebody read that?
Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold.
What happened? Say same, same.
Same.
Like whatever happened to Solomon happened to Abraham. The moment you have a revelation of the name of Jesus, what happens? You become wealthy. You have no choice. He became how rich? See, it's not like when you say rich. When the Bible says you are very rich, you are. Oh my goodness. The world says filthy rich. The Bible doesn't use the word filthy because gold of Eden is what?
Good.
Good rich. Extremely rich. Very rich. What happened? What did Abraham receive that caused him to suddenly become very rich? He got a revelation of the name. So what happened after Mary got the revelation of the name of Jesus? What happened? Gold. Frankincense, myrrh, kings started showing up in the town of Nazareth. Why? Who is in the house? Who is in the house? The name is in the house. The name is in the house. Hashem. See, the Jews call the name of God. They don't use the name. They are so afraid to use the name of God. For them, that name is so holy. So they don't even call God by God. They don't even use the word G-D. They drop the O. Because they are like afraid to not even call that name God, God. They drop the O, they say G-D. Many times you will read in Jewish newspapers and articles and all, they will say G-D, because they don't want to use the word God, because that name is too holy. So they replace it with the word called Hashem. Say Hashem. Hashem means Ha, means the. Shem means name. Hashem, the name. He says, the name has blessed us. Hashem has blessed us. The name has blessed us. Who has brought all this prosperity in your life? Hashem has brought this prosperity. See, they say what? The name has brought all the prosperity that we have. Do you know they get prosperity by not even saying the word, the name of Jesus? They get prosperity by just referring to the name as the name. And that name brings prosperity to the Jews in the world today. How much more the revealed name for heaven that has been given to you? Say, I'm highly favored. I am highly favored. I have found great favor with God. He has revealed his name to me. His name is Yeshua. What? Get ready for what? Get ready for what? Riches, glory, honor, power, everything. Get ready. Therefore, now can you rejoice? If somebody gives you the password to the $100 billion bank account. What do?
Rejoice.
You rejoice. Simple. There is no joy. I mean, like, I have the passcode is, can I tell you, Milo, can I tell them the password? It is 555-777. Correct? Sushil, the passcode, okay? For all your prosperity is 555-777. Correct? 555, perfect grace, 777, perfect God. Correct? So that's your password. By the way, that's not my password. Don't try on my bank account. Anil, silver table. They'll lock me out, you know. So the moment you get that, there's no secret name in that 55577. I'm just putting it as a word. But I'm saying is, once you know that, once the revealed password is given, you rejoice. Because now you have access. You say, but are you walking around with a lorry full of $100 bills? No. Do I need to see it every time? No. What do I know? I know the password. Oh, you're running out of food? No problem. Why? I know the password. I know the name. I know the Hashem. I know the name. Got it? Okay. Look at verse 13, verse 2. He was very rich. He went back. So he goes back from Egypt. He goes back to the place that he had built at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the
name.
He's like, man, this is good. I just call on the name and I'm cool. Keep going. He is the reason. He is the reward, the reason for your joy. And verse 15, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. See, I am in the house. I am your reward. See, you have to get this revelation that Jesus is your reward. Get that revelation. Okay. A lot of things to say. So, Abraham in verse 7, he says, Abraham has this logic. When God told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward, Abraham said the most obvious thing that you and I would say. He said, okay, but Abraham said, that means God is saying, I am your great reward, but Abraham said, so what's the problem? He's not able to understand. He's saying, but Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I'm go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? He says, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, the one that is born in my house is my heir. So he's saying, I don't see the evidence of the fact that I'm rewarded. I don't see evidence. So what does Abraham say? So Jesus takes Abraham out and shows him all the stars, and you know the story, and says, as far as many as this descendants are, so that your descendants will be. And he says, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. That's a very financial word. So this is what the Lord says. Faith is real accounting and real currency, the real deal. Your faith in Jesus is the real currency. See, he's accounted to you. That means he's saying, you don't need the shekel. You don't need the Roman gold. You don't need everything. This is the real currency. Do you have faith in your heart about the revealed name of Jesus? That's currency. You can use it to cash anything you want in life. Do you believe it? Yes. It's accounted to you. If you have faith is the real currency, the real deal, you can cash it. Faith in what? In the name Jesus. You got it? Okay. Look at what he says. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Give me 10 minutes and I'll close. Luke chapter 1 verse 57. And I'm getting ready for what the Lord is showing about next year. You don't want to miss it. Luke chapter 1 verse 57. Then Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered. She brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. The word great mercy there is called Gadol Hased. Gadol Hased means Great mercy. There are only four times in the Bible the word great mercy is performed. When they saw the great mercy that God showed Elizabeth, and remember she had a baby in her old years and brought forth John, they saw the great mercy. See, why was it great mercy? Why did the world think that Elizabeth had great mercy? It was an impossible thing for a woman of such an old age to have a child. Correct? It's called... So he said great mercy. So in the Hebrew word, great is gadol. Say gadol. Gadol. Okay? Gadol. Gadol means great. Mercy means what? Hesed. Favor. Grace. So combine both. It's what? Gadol hesed. The Lord is telling 2024 will be the year of gadol hesed. God is going to do such incredible things that you will say, this is the gadol hesed that God has shown to me in my life. It will not be like this ordinary hesed. This will be gadol hesed. And I didn't know that. One day the Lord, but this week, earlier this week, he said, Anil, it's going to be great year of great mercy for you, for your life team, for your friends, the family that you minister to. It'll be a year of great mercy. And the Lord says, go and find out where great mercy shows up. So I didn't bother because I was busy with other things at work. I was stressed about some things and so going back and forth, so I did not waste time. So today I'm having my Bible study. I'm going through Luke chapter 1. Where does great mercy shows up? Luke chapter 1 verse 47. And it is connected to what? Rejoicing. He says, you rejoice, because you rejoice even though you may not see it. But gadol hesed is showing up your way. It is getting ready. Gadol hesed has already left Egypt. It is showing up on your doorsteps. It's already left your destination. The gold has already started. You know when the wise men had already started to start coming? Wise men didn't show up on the night of Bethlehem, okay, by the way. They came to the house in Nazareth where Jesus was already a toddler. That means when Jesus was born, the wise men had started. By the time they showed up, Jesus was a toddler living in Nazareth. But he showed up. But gadol hesed was prophesied to Mary and to Elizabeth that because Jesus is born, gadol hesed is going to come. Did it show up? Yes. So you start declaring it, putting it in your mouth, receive it as a prophecy. The year of gadol hesed, great mercy, not just ordinary mercy, great favor. That means impossible things are going to happen into your life. Because you have the revelation of the name. Okay. Remember, let's go. I can't go through everything, but I'm going to go quickly to the first mention of rolling on the floor laughing. R-O-F-L. Do you want to know who started R-O-F-L? Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 17. So God says to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. And I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on the face and laughed and said in his heart. So why did Abraham fall on his face on the floor and laughed? Why? Because he's like, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? What is he getting ready to experience? Gadol hesed is going to show up. He's getting ready for gadol hesed. So what he says, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years also, bear a child? And God, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live. Means what? That's impossible. I have Ishmael. What is Ishmael? Ishmael is a picture of your strength, is your efforts. Say, my efforts, my ability. Let him live. Let what I have done, let that multiply. Don't give me gadol hesed. That is too impossible. Just give me, just multiply what I have. My bank account, my health. Okay, I'm not asking for perfect healing. Just let this occurrence not happen every year. Oh, I'm not asking for supernatural restoration of my body, my skin, my organs. Just let me, I pray that my medicines will work. You got a problem? God says, let Ishmael live. God says, no. What does God say? Verse 19. No. Say, I'm saying this loud. God saying to your prayer to bless the works of your strength, no, I will not. So God says, I am not obligated to your flesh. I will not make a covenant with Ishmael. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Spirit so strong. He says, my covenant is not to your strength. My covenant is not. I'm not obligated to bless what you do. I'm not obligated. I'm not obligated. I never made a promise that I will bless what you do. I am obligated to your laughter. You rejoice. I'm obligated to you. So what did Mary do? The moment angel heard that, look at Mary's song. Go back to Mary's song. Mary's song, Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, look at, she's just received the word from the angel, right? Rejoice is a command, right? So what did Mary say? And Mary says, my soul rejoices. So did she do what the angel said? Yes. Has the baby born yet? No. So she said, my soul rejoices. My spirit has rejoiced. Does it say my spirit will rejoice? Finished. So every part of the song of Mary is what? Present tense or future tense? No. I have such a trick question. It was a past tense. He says, I have rejoiced. He said, George, you have to rejoice. You will say what? Brother, I already rejoiced. What are you telling me to rejoice? I already rejoiced for the Gadol Hased for already. I already rejoiced. He said, but I don't see it. Oh, too late. I've already rejoiced. So the guy says, so somebody was talking about stocks, right? And this is so funny. And I saw this cartoon, right? He said, some of the best investments that you do is pick up good stocks. This is good in financial advice. Good companies and sit on your backside. Means don't do anything about it, right? So if somebody comes and tells you, so what are you doing? I'm sitting on my backside. So the next day he comes and says, hey, I thought you were sitting on your backside yesterday. What are you doing today? I've not finished sitting on my backside yet. You got it? So every day you have finished rejoicing. You have nothing more to do. You say, but what about today? Today is a new day. Should you do something more? No, I have to still do what I already did. I've already rejoiced. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. Mary said, for he has regarded. Say what? He will regard? He has. He's already regarded. He's already blessed me. He has regarded the lowly state of his messenger. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty will do great things for me. Are you? Hold on. She does not have a baby yet. He has done great things for me. And holy is his
name.
Ah, she has the revelation of the name. For his mercy or his hased is of those who fear him from generation to generation. He will show strength with his arm. He has shown. He will scatter the proud in the imagination of a heart. He has put down. He has. You see the picture? The song of Mary is a song of past tense. So when you rejoice in the past tense, when you finish rejoicing, you declare it's already done. When you don't see it, when you don't feel like it, rejoice as if it's already done. I'm telling you, the secret to your victory is rolling on the floor laughing. Rolling on the floor laughing. God loves ROFL so much. He loves it so much. Then in verse 19, Genesis chapter 17, remember he's still on the floor laughing and God is talking to him. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name
Isaac.
Isaac means what? He laughs. So what is Abraham doing? God says, yes, you shall call your baby, he laughs. So whatever you did in rejoicing is what you will birth. So write this down. Joy, laughter births laughter. Whatever you rejoice in is what you will birth. So Abraham laughed about a son and laughed about a son called laughter, and he birthed a son called laughter. Forever his name was called laughter. See, God got the name from what Abraham was doing on the floor. And all the hosts are going, and God is looking, angels are looking. What is this guy doing on the floor laughing? God says, ah, that's good. Call your name laughter, man. Call your name laughter because you believe that. Yeah. You laughed. So I will call it. So now Abraham laughed, correct? Did Sarah laugh? Yes. No, not yet. No. Say not yet. So Sarah is not laughed. So baby cannot come. Because God needs who? See, when Eve ate the fruit, the curse didn't come. What should happen? Adam also has to eat. So he's waiting. So should Sarah also laugh? No. Yes or no? Yes. Okay. So, by the way, let's read Genesis chapter 17. Very powerful. So, no, you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him. Means with whom? With laughter. Say laughter. I will establish my covenant with laughter. That means when God's covenant is not with your strength, it's with your rejoicing. Oh, this is so powerful. If you get this picture, I wish Alkesh was here, because Alkesh was preaching on this in the last live stream. He was talking about how the power of laughter is. He says, when you laugh is your victory, because God's covenant is to your laughter. He says, my covenant I will establish for how long? Everlasting covenant. That means for everlasting. That means every time you laugh, you rejoice about a situation, God says, I am promised my covenant will show up. That means all of heaven will show up to your rejoicing. Great? And with his descendants after him, as for Ishmael, I've heard you. He says, about your strength, I've heard you. So what does he say about your strength? He says, behold, I've blessed your strength. I blessed him. So let me ask you a question. When you do stuff as a believer, does God bless it? Yes. So look at what he says. I'll make him fruitful. Is your efforts blessed? Fruitful? Yes. And I will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes. I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with laughter. I will only establish my covenant with laughter. That means everything that has to last in your life has to be birthed by your rejoicing. Mary rejoiced, Jesus was born. Elizabeth rejoiced, John was born. Abraham rejoiced, Isaac was born. And when he had finished, okay, and then the same day, Abraham circumcised. We'll not talk about circumcised. So, verse 9. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? That's in a different chapter. Different chapter. He said, there in my tent. I said, I'll certainly return to you at the time of your life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening at the tent door which was behind him, and Abraham and Sarah was old and well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being Lord of all? Now, who is laughing? Sarah. Sarah is also laughing and saying. See, Abraham also laughed and said. Sarah laughed and said, your rejoicing has a voice. Write it down. Your rejoicing has a voice. The voice of their faith. And that faith says, I have already received it. I have the passcode. I have the revealed name. It's already happened. You're not waiting for it. Make it your past tense song, not your future tense. Make it your past tense song. Say to yourself, laughing. So look at what he says. Surely, Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being Lord also, old also? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Now, Lord wants to know, why does Sarah laugh? Is she laughing because of unbelief, or is she laughing as a command because she believed it? Sarah said, why did she? But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. Remember, see how laughter is the opposite of fear? Exactly, always. If you are fearful, that means you are not laughing. If you are not laughing, God cannot get the stuff to you, because his covenant is only with your laughter. You got the picture? Therefore, Satan always wants to get you to do what? Fear. Okay, keep reading. And he said, no, you did laugh. Why did God want Sarah to laugh? Sarah said, no, I did not laugh. But God says, no, you did laugh. Why? Why? He's like, man, laugh, buddy, laugh. Do what your husband did. What? No. Fall on the floor laughing. He said, you did laugh. So it's not like a rebuke. He said, man, please tell you laughed, because I cannot get this child to you. You have to laugh. So the baby arrives. Laughter births laughter. Laughter births Isaac. Genesis chapter 21 verse 5. And 7. Now Abraham was 100 years old, and when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, look at the verse that Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. All who hear will laugh. Abraham, Sarah said, God has made me laugh. God has made Sarah laugh. And that's the picture. Laughter is your victory. Remember in Psalms 23, it says, in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the rod and thy staff that comfort me, thou preparest a table in the midst of my enemies. Is that the midnight hour? Yes. Great. Biju, is that the midnight hour? Great. What does he say? You anointed my head with oil, my cup runs over. Let me ask you a question. What is this oil? Oil of gladness. In your midnight hour, you have so much gladness that it's overflowing. Once you have joy, is your midnight oil. Write it down. So what happened when Paul and Silas was put in the prison? At midnight, what did they do? They rejoiced. What happened? The moment they rejoiced, there was an earthquake. And the doors were open. Why? Rejoice is your midnight oil. Remember the virgins. Five were foolish, five were wise. Five took what? What differentiated the foolish from the wise? Oil. Which oil? Oil of gladness. Five did not take the oil of gladness. Because who is the oil of gladness? The name, the revealed name of Jesus. So they did not take it. So they were joyful while they were alive. Why? They were joyful while they were alive. Why? Because their joy, like Jonathan was sharing in his testimony, was based on the friends they had, the Instagram followers they had, the TikToks that they saw, the parties that they went to, the booze that they drank. That the joy is that. But that joy doesn't cross over Jordan. The only joy that crosses over Jordan is the Hashem name, Jesus. So when they slumbered, they all woke up. What happened? The bridegroom is coming. At midnight, the cry went out. That means they were at the midnight hour. At the midnight hour, they went to the ones who had the oil and said, give us some of our oil. And what did the wise who had the oil say to the ones who did not have the oil? He said, if we give it to you, we will not be enough for us. Why don't you go to those who sell? Who is the one who sells you the oil of gladness? The Lord himself. The bridegroom who is going to show up is your joy. They never realized it when they were alive. They never realized it when they are now in eternity. They always thought joy came from other people. They never knew joy is Jesus. And joy is the same bridegroom that is now showing up in eternity. So they go out to buy. If the one who sells the joy of gladness is the bridegroom, what should they have done, even though they did not have the joy? Stayed there. Because who gives you the joy? The bridegroom. I'll wait for the bridegroom. But they went out. Why did they go out? Because they never saw him as the one who sells you the oil. That's why Jesus, about Jesus, there is two verses. He says in Psalms 45, go back and read it, I don't have time, and Hebrews. He says, he was anointed with the oil of gladness more than all his brethren. And Hebrews quotes that verse. He's just, Jesus has a reputation in heaven. What's his reputation? He is the most hilarious person in heaven, Jesus. He is so happy in heaven. He is full of laughter. You see Jesus on the stage in heaven, you will know him from a distance, because what is he doing there? He is rolling on the floor, laughing. He is laughing. He is anointed. Like I'm going to say, if JR is rolling on the floor, JR, rolling on the floor. Okay, no. On the floor laughing. You'll say, this guy has the oil of gladness on him. Yes or no? But if I say, among all these guys, this guy has the oil of gladness more than all his brethren. That means if he is rolling on the floor laughing, which was Abraham, correct? What will George be doing?
Rolling next to me.
No. Hold on. Let me give you the context. He is rolling on the floor laughing. Who is Abraham? Abraham is rolling on the floor laughing. I said, this guy, he is anointed with the oil of gladness more than all the brethren. Right. So what should he be doing?
Running all over the place.
He must be doing something more crazier than rolling on the floor laughing. Yes or no? So that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is doing more crazy things than what Abraham did when his son was born. Why? Because the Father's covenant is to your laughter. Can you laugh? Can you rejoice? In your midnight oil, do you have, midnight hour, do you have the oil of gladness? And God says, laughter births your Isaacs. Laughter births your Isaacs. What is Isaacs? The impossible things that only when the world sees Isaacs, they'll say, John has what on him? What is the key word? Gadol Mased is upon him. When the world sees your Isaac, they will say, what about you? Gadol Hased has shown up. What's your name of your city? No, John?
Wiley.
Gadol Hased has shown up in Wiley, in that house. Because they are seeing Isaac. I was like, how? Because everybody knows Gadol Hased. The Gentiles will know Gadol Hased when they see it, because it will be an Isaac. Everybody will know a John the Baptist, because they know it's impossible. How can they have a child? Everybody knows it. But that is only birth in your laughter. Are you excited about this word? Are you excited that in your midnight hour, your oil is your oil of gladness? And it will birth your Isaacs. And God's covenant is not to your Ishmael. Your Ishmael is multiplied, will be productive, but his covenant is towards your laughter. God's covenant is to your laughter. Therefore, rejoice. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord Master. Thank you, Jesus. And the oil of gladness was only come, and his name is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon you because of your new birth, he brought in the joy in your life. He is your joy. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So Holy Spirit is your joy. Righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes from the Father. But joy is by your Holy Spirit that God has sent to dwell in you. Therefore, now you have no reason to be sad, no reason to be discouraged, because Great joy has shown up in your place. Great joy will never leave your house. Great joy will never leave your house. For his name is the revealed name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray and I release, Lord, right now, out of their bosoms, out of their bellies, Lord, let living water of joy flow. Every child, every young man, every young boy, every brother, every sister, Lord, I pray, deep fountains, deep calls unto deep. The Father calls out to the deep spirit in you and calls out the name Yeshua, the revealed name, the joyful name. And Father, let running water, like rushing water of joy, start flowing in, Master. And let they be anointed with the oil of gladness more than all their brethren. And let your covenant be established in our rejoicing, O Master. And Father, we receive the word of Gadol Hased for the coming year, Lord. Lord, in each one of these families that are hearing this word, Lord, Gadol Hased be manifested, because they have obeyed your command to rejoice. We thank you. And let this be the most glorious Christmas they've ever had. Because though they may not see it, but they will know that God has already given them the land and made them exceedingly fruitful. And Father, let it be a sign to them even before the end of this year that you have covenanted with their Isaacs, with their laughter, with their rejoicing. And Father, that you will cause it to all manifest quickly. And Father, just as Abraham did, we do it this very same day we circumcised our flesh. The same day that we heard this word, we put away our strength, our ability to depend on our Ishmael. We put away the very same day, we put away our strength and we depend on your Hesed, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. Because like Mary said, we have already received it. My soul has rejoiced in the Lord our Savior. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.